Now, understanding the foreign currency loan. Many times it so happens, domestic borrowing may not be sufficient, or even if it is there, rate of interest is much on the higher side. So under the circumstances, the another option to the borrowing company is to go for the foreign currency loan from the financial institution abroad. Wherever imported machinery or the equipment is necessary, the financial institution provides the necessary foreign exchange loan after assessing the viability of the project, sustainability of the project. The foreign currency loan are the part of the various lines of the credit for financing the project, which is based on the imported plant and equipment. Some of the lines of the credit are Euro-dollar loan, or export credit from UK, or Japanese yen loan, or maybe Deutsche Bank mark revolving funds, or maybe KfW from the Germany. The loan covers the CIF value, metal goods, and the known for how the fees, know-how fees. CIF is nothing but cost, insurance, and freight, which is to be borne by the supplier of the machinery, plant. So cost, insurance, and freight that is required to be paid by the borrower. Okay, but as far as the invoicing or pricing is concerned, the pricing consists of the cost, original cost of the equipment or machinery, then insurance amount that is covered for this, and third one is a freight from one point to another point, from one country to another country. So this is covered under this foreign currency loan. Interest rate, that depends upon the rate which is applicable to the foreign currency loan, okay, and which is utilized by the financial institutions. All financial institutions like IDBI, IFCI, or ICICI operates exchange rates administration scheme, that is IRAS, to cover the risk of the foreign exchange fluctuation. The institutions which carries the risk themselves and the charge the composite rate to the borrower. The composite rate is announced from time to time for IRAS loan to be sanctioned during the period as the band of interest, as the band of interest rate. And foreign currency term loan is also another type. Foreign currency term loan is also foreign currency loan for the importing of the capital goods. That is a different story. But another type of loan in foreign currency that is also to be availed by the project company is a foreign currency term loan. Popularly, it is called as the FCTL, foreign currency term loan, and it is the replacement of the term loan and it can be used as a replacement for the Indian rupees term loan to clear off and then borrow it in the foreign currency on the similar terms. Okay, the foreign currency term loan can be disbursed in four currencies generally. Yeah, generally, it may be US dollar, sterling, euro, or it may be Japanese yen, with the maturity period of 6 months to 7 years also. It can be repaid by the bullet payment or in stipulated installments, or by conversion of the rupee term loan as per the terms of the original sanction. Then who can avail this facility, FCTL? It can be availed by the exporter since they have the natural hedge. And the purpose of this FCTL is for the working capital requirement of the Indian rupees, then for the pre-shipment advance and post-shipment advance to the exporters, then import of the raw material, import of the capital goods, then purchase of the indigenous machinery, then repayment of the existing rupee term loan, and the repayment of existing external commercial borrowing, that is ECB. Okay. Now, having understood the purpose of this FCTL, now, what are the features of this foreign currency term loan, FCTL. The term loan in foreign currency for the tenor of 1 year to 7 years, not less than 1 year. Okay, then it is a financially viable to the clients who are naturally hedged. Ideally, it should have been recurring running business for the FX inflows, that is foreign exchange inflow, continuously receipt of the foreign exchange. That means he may be exporter of the goods. Okay, thus a regular exporter can repay through its export receivable, because he is selling the goods abroad, and in turn he is getting its price in foreign currency. That is why the exporter can repay through the export receivable. This FCTL is liability created, is a natural hedge against the dollar's receivable assets. Then interest on the foreign currency term loan in USD can be serviced through receivable in USD only, and the export should be regular in nature, or also a part of those export receivable should be an unhedged, so that the same can be used for the repayment of FCTL. Now the final aspect we are reaching to and to understand, that is DSCR ratio. Everything is fine, but assessment, I said at the beginning, the assessment of the proposal is a very, very difficult task, and it involves a lot of ratios, permutation, combination of various financial data from the financial statements, and that is very short. But most important is a DSCR ratio, that is debt service coverage ratio. Debt service coverage ratio essentially calculates the repayment capacity of the borrower. Now you understand why DSCR is important, because lender will be lend, borrower will be availing the loan, but its capacity to service at least interest, or along with the interest, the principal also. So generally it is considered that the DSCR, which is less than 1, which suggests that liability of the firm profits to serve its debt, whereas DSCR is greater than 1 means not only servicing of the debt obligation, but also the liability to pay the dividend also is there. So DSCR ratio should be always more than 1. Debt service coverage ratio is one of the leverage and coverage ratio which is calculated in order to know the cash profit availability to repay the debt, which including the interest. Essentially, this DSCR is calculated when a company firm take a loan from the bank, financial institution, and any other loan provider or any other lender. This ratio suggests the capability of the cash profits to meet the repayment of the financial loan. DSCR is very important from the point of view that the financing authority, it indicates its repaying capacity of the entity who is taking the loan. Just a year's analysis of the DSCR does not lead any concrete conclusion for 1 year's financial data. You cannot lead, or you cannot generate, or you cannot have the complete, you cannot say that company will be best in repaying of its debt. It requires few more years data also, relevant data also, so as to see the entire remaining period of the loan to see it. For 1 year, it is 1 year's data is fine. But if it is a longer term loan, then the future or maybe some additional years DSCR is also required to be calculated. Now, when I say DSCR, how it is calculated? It is calculated. Calculation is very simple. To calculate this ratio, some of the figures you have to keep it ready. That is PAT. PAT is nothing but profit after tax. Then non-cash expenses like depreciation or miscellaneous expenses which are written off. Then another aspect is the interest for the current year. That also the figure should be ready. Then installment of the current year, which is required to be paid, and the lease rental for the current assets. These figures are very much required and handy while calculating the DSCR ratio. Sometimes these figures are readily available, but at times they are to be determined using the financial statements of the company or the firm. The formula for calculation of the DSCR is PAT, that is profit after tax, plus interest, plus lease rental, plus non-cash expenses, which are explained here. Putting together all this divided by installment into bracket, interest plus principal amount, bracket complete, plus lease rental. This will give you one amount and one figure that should be beyond one. That should be beyond one. Let us come to that conclusion subsequently. But first, after we understand that, profit after tax is generally available readily on the face of the profit and loss of statement, that is P&L statement. It is the balance of the profit and loss account which is transferred to be the reserve and the surplus to find out the business. Sometimes in the absence of the profit and loss account statement, we can also find it from the balance sheet by subtracting the current year's profit and loss account from the previous year's balance, which is readily available under the head of reserve and surplus. Interest, from where you will get the amount which is paid or payable for the financial year under the concern of the loan is taken. So installment amount, from where you will get the amount which is paid or payable for the financial year under the review for the loan taken. It includes the payment towards the principal as well as interest for the financial year also. Now, non-cash expenses. From where you will get non-cash expenses? Non-cash expenses are those expenses which are charged to the profit and loss account for which the payment has already been done in the past years, and this, some of the cash expenses which are jotted down here. One, writing off of the preliminary expenses and the pre-operative expenses. Depreciation, which is provided on the fixed assets. Amortization of the intangible assets and the goodwills. Then trademark, patent and the copyright. Okay. Then provision on the doubtful assets. Deferment of the expenses like the advertisement, promotion, etc. And the lease rental comes from the amount of the lease rent which is paid or payable for the financial year. Now, interpretation of the DSCR. You have calculated by taking these figures into this. But now you have to see how you interpret or understand the figures which you have arrived. I said sometime back, the DSCR which you are arriving by applying the formula should be at least 1 plus, that is beyond 1. Anything less than that is a minus sign. So, in how it is to be interpreted. Okay. So, just calculation of the ratio does not serve the purpose till it is not interpreted in the manner in which it is required in correct sense. Therefore, the result of the debt service coverage ratio is an absolute figure. Higher this figure, better is the debt serving capacity. If the ratio is less than 1, it is considered a bad, because it simply indicates that profit of the firm are not sufficient to service its debt obligations. Acceptable industry norm for the debt service coverage ratio is between 1.5 to 2. It should be, it is the best ratio, 1.5 to 2. The ratio is almost used to the lenders, to the money, such as banks or financial institutions. There are two objectives of this financial institution behind giving the loan to a business. One, earning interest and not letting the account to go bad. So let us take that example. For example, where DSCR is coming to be a less than one, which directly indicates that negative views but about the repayment capacity of the firm. Does this mean that the bank should not extend the loan? No, absolutely not. Because the bank will analyze the profit generating capacity, and the business idea is that a whole, and if the business is strong in both terms, the DSCR can be improved by increasing the term of loan. So increasing the term of the loan will reduce the denominator of the ratio calculation and thereby enlarging the scope, and the ratio will be greater than 1. With this, we have completed our discussion on the term loans. Thank you very much.